Now this is lesson one on the Revelation of Jesus Christ, volume one, translation and commentary. And we'll ask you to turn to page one. Now I need to explain on this tape how this book is done, and after we start, we'll not repeat as a rule this thing. I want you to notice, first of all, in this commentary area, you have the American Standard Version of 1901 is set there in print. Then, alongside of it, you have the Greek text. And those of you that have had some Greek, and there are quite a few of you that have, that's the Greek text. Underneath each word is a literal English word. And they are out of order. In other words, if you read that verse, an uncovering of Jesus Messiah, which he gave to him, the God, to point to the slaves of him, which things it is essential to come to pass in speed, and he gave a sign, having dispatched through the messenger of him to the slave of him, John. Now that's a very awkward reading, but that's the way the Greek is written. And I put the words directly underneath so that you will know what each word is. Then, and we won't read those as a rule, I may refer to them occasionally, but they're there for the critic who wants to check anything, analyze anything, and under it you find it underlined. There the words are the same, but they have been rearranged to somewhat smooth out the reading. An uncovering of Jesus Messiah, which the God gave to him to point to his slaves things which are essential to come to pass in speed. And he gave a sign, having dispatched through his messenger to his slave John. Now that smooths it out a little bit. And we'll talk about each of these words, and you see little indicators. Now across the page you find a blank page. That's left there purposely. We could print back to back, but we leave that for those of you who intend to study. You can make your notes across there. They voted here to keep leaving that a blank page. It's much better to have it blank. And then you can also cut out, those of you who have a King James, you can cut out a King James and put that in there. Now, I already have cut out my King James and put it in there. The later translations in Hebrews, I've already cut out both, American Standard and King James, for you. But you'll be able to cut out other things, make out other notes. There'll be newspaper clippings that'll come up from time to time in connection with different verses. And you'll have a place to put those so that you see the whole world picture developing. And you will get out of this course exactly what you put in and no more. It is work. It will be hard. Tonight will be easy. But tomorrow it will begin to get very, very difficult. So stick by it. And we'll try and answer questions and simplify it as much as we can. But I don't want you to be deluded that it's going to be real easy. Because Bible study is not easy. It's being taught as though it were easy, and therein lies our trouble. We're going to look at some of the deep things of God and feed you in this conference on some real meat of the Word. I think some things that are going to amaze you. All right? Now we're ready to really go that you've had it explained. You'll notice in that first verse, there's first of all a little circle, black circle, by God, taking it down underneath to a comment. God gave to Jesus Messiah, through his messenger, to his slave John, to point things to his slaves. So you have five steps. God to Jesus, to messenger, to John, to slaves. So you have five steps of relay. Now one other thing, when you see the God, it designates God the Father. Now they don't translate that article in the King James, they leave it out all the time, which leads you in quite some confusion. You do not well know whether they're talking about God the Father or God the Son, and you're in a problem. But by inserting it, it will always be clear, and if it doesn't carry the article and it means God the Father, then it'll often say God the Father. So that's very simple. But the God, when that reads in there like that, and it is awkward, but I rather have the awkwardness to give you the accuracy. That's the important thing. I'm trying to determine what does the Word of God say. We have no axe to grind here. We have no cult. We have no special ideology. We want to know the Word of God. All right? We're off now to the next item. See the little star? Things which are essential to come to pass in speed. This book takes up the church, quote, a lot of you know that word is assembly, not really church, world powers then existing, and so forth. Time with God is short. 1,000 years equals 1 day. Most of you know that expression. You've heard it many times. So he says these things are coming to pass in speed. Now, verse 2. Now you go directly to your underline. Who witnessed, and that who, if you got markers, some of you are using your colored markers, circle your who and put it right back across that print to John in the verse ahead. Who reflects to John? Who, John, witnessed the word of the God and the witness of Jesus Messiah as many things as he saw. Now that verb, he saw, we pulled that out. This word, now in this, I have spelled the word in Greek, in the brackets, aden. I have spelled it alongside of it in English letters, aden, so you can see it. A word occurring more than 50 times in this book and forming an interesting way to divide the book for study. The things which he saw. And you're going to see that he saw one thing after another, after another, after another, all through the book. Now, verse 3 on page 2. Excuse me. Happy the one reading and the ones hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping the things having been written and still written in it, for the season is near. Now, this verse needs considerable help for you. Happy the one reading. You must remember that when this scripture was written, these people did not all own copies of the book. They couldn't sit down and all say, should we get two books? They had a reader who had a book and people who had no books. And so the one reading had the only book, and most of the time. And he was doing the reading, and the others were doing the hearing. So you'll find him speaking this way right along. And you'll notice that it is called the prophecy. The total book is a single concrete prophecy, total prophecy. And keeping the things, now notice, this is what's known as a perfect tense. The things having been written at some time past and still written. In other words, they've remained written right up to the time we're reading. In it. Now, it is not book, but written in the prophecy. Written in it. For the season is near. Now, I made notes so that you'll always have them there. The ones hearing and the ones keeping are the same people. Note the single article, hoi. Those of you who have Greek, you can go back up and mark it up there in your Greek text. Prophecy. This book is a prophecy, single unit. We go to verse 4. John, to the seven assemblies. Now, the word assemblies is, if you look at the Greek interlinear, count from your left, 1, 2, 3, 4 words. The last word on that top line of verse 4 is ekklesiais. Ekklesia is a word that's become almost an American word, ecclesia. You've heard it talked on, you've heard it preached on in churches. It's become almost an English word. It in reality is a Greek word. And ecclesia is an assembly. And it is very often translated church. But the word is not the word church. There is no such word church in the Bible. The word church comes from a German word. It's really the word assembly that it should be. And it can be used for any kind of an assembly. Ecclesia is not special. Ecclesia is assembly. You can have a motorcycle gang, and they're an assembly. They're an ecclesia. It's used that way. It's used for an arena where the Greek authorities were meeting, and the people were meeting in a crowd, and it was virtually a stampede. It was a free-for-all, and it's called an assembly. So assembly is all that word is. Now, occasionally, I'm going to use for it the word church, because what we're talking about in all of the scriptures is a New Testament assembly, which we know as the church. But you must remember that this is the church, the people, not the building. You, the assembled people here, are the church, and not this structure or not any structure. It's the people in it that are the church, the assembly. That's why the word church today has been so referred to a building. You say the First Baptist Church, and you mail your letter to the First Baptist Church, and it goes to a building. And that has created a very poor impression, because that kind of a word is ecclesiasterion. That doesn't occur in Scripture. That's not in Scripture at all. And that is the building. There is a Greek word for that, ecclesiasterion, but that's where the assembly meets. But that isn't the word. It isn't in Scripture at all. He never talks about that. He talks about the people that are in it. So you can take everything it said to heart, because he's talking to the people that are here. He's not talking to this building. All right? So we come down to this verse. John, to the seven assemblies, namely the ones in Asia, favor to you and peace from the one being, and the one who was, and the one coming, and from the seven spirits which are in sight of his throne. Now, this is the point of the vision of many people that study the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. In the first place, they have debated this situation for centuries. Does this refer to seven local churches, or is it more than that? I think before we get through, you'll see that it not only is not seven local churches, but Noah's never intended to even have reference to seven local churches. And you'll see why in a few moments. Seven assemblies in Asia. Seven occurs 52 times in the Revelation. It's a book built on the number seven. The salutation is to the seven churches, all in Asia. This itself indicates it is prophetic of church history. Why only seven? To start with, because there were a lot more than seven. Why only Asia? Because, my goodness, there are a lot more continents than Asia. I see no valid reason for even attempting to make these letters of a prophecy apply to seven local churches. Now, the start. From the one being that is presently existing, the one who was existing in the past, and the one coming existing into the future, the eternal God. And the star in the circle. The seven spirits, picturing the total person of the Holy Spirit, as we will consider later. Now we jump to verse 5. And from Jesus, Messiah. Now back up in the note up above, you had eternal God. And I circled that with my marker. You can circle it. Because you come down, you see, from you're really coming from back on the other side, this eternal God is the one who was and is and so forth. Now you pick up in verse 5, and from Jesus Messiah. So the one in verse 4 is not Jesus, but is the eternal God. And that's what I wanted to call your attention to. That's God. And this one in verse 5 is and from Jesus Messiah. Two personalities of the Godhead. The Godhead is three personalities, but yet unity as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right? Now, we're back on verse 5. And from Jesus Messiah, the trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead. Now, in English, you understand dead, but it's plural in Greek. It's deads, dead ones, you could say. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, to the one cherishing us and having loosed us out of our sins in his blood. Now, the King James there, if you're following, has washed. Now, this is a matter of an omega in the Greek word. The manuscripts vary. So washed is all right because they're following a different manuscript. But loosed, I feel, is better supported. Now, the word washed, which is the word for you have had Greek luo, lambda, omicron, upsilon, omega, that word, that verb, in our basic dictionary is not the word washed. In the basic dictionary, that is the word bathed. So we would have translated it, had we used that text, we would have used who has bathed us in his blood. Okay? It's quite different. Okay, just keep that in mind. But we move on. But there is a manuscript difference there. Verse 6, and he made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him the glory and the might, with reference to the ages of the ages. Moving on to verse 7 on page 4. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the land will themselves bewail on him. Yea, amen. Now, before we take up the notes on these two verses, let me just call to your attention some very interesting things and very quickly summarize them. You see, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Now, often people wonder about that. How are you going? Everybody going to see him all the way around the world? There is much testimony in historic record, as well as a lot within Scripture, if you know how to find it, that when the Lord God created the heavens and the earth, his glory encompassed the earth. Now, if you look at the creation record in Genesis, and some of you know it pretty well, it isn't till the fourth day that you have the sun and the moon and the stars. And yet, you have in the beginning, on the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this glory light apparently enveloped the earth, and so blinding was the light that you couldn't see the sun and the moon and stars until that light was withdrawn. Just as in the daytime, you can't see stars when the sun is shining. They say in these various records of history that at the coming of God to Sinai, coming from Mount Seir to give the law to Israel, that light was the same blinding, shining all the way from Seir until the entire territory was flooded. And it says that light, in the rabbinical teaching, it says that that light has been taken back, waiting to come a second time when it will be applied at his return. And that light, blinding light, will encircle the earth at his coming. So every eye will see it. And you won't be able to see the sun and moon and stars for the brilliance of the coming. So that's the kind of a thing we're looking forward to. All right, verse 5 and 6. I took up all these little stars and markers at once, having loosed us. King James washed. I've told you about that. But loosed is better, supported by the papyri 18, the Alpha A, and the C manuscript. In his blood, made us a kingdom. Kings, King James has kings, but kingdom is better supported by the papyri 18, the Alpha A, and the C manuscript. The New Testament believers are never called kings, but a kingdom over which Jesus is king. All right, now look at the little circle. I'm going to try and show you diagrams as we go that you'll understand. In his blood, that is, within his blood. Now, that's a very difficult phrase, but you're going to encounter it often. It uses it steadily, that the believer, any of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I know there are a lot of you that have and a lot of you that haven't, but those of you that have, you are in that blood capsule of protection. It is only being within that blood capsule of protection that you are spared the wrath of God. That's your only protection, wall of protection between God and total destruction. That's the only thing in the world that's going to protect you. All this nonsense about God loves everybody is soon to come to an awful crescendo when they wake up to God's wrath, because he's coming to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. It's not a lovey-dovey coming. He says, why do you want the day of the Lord? It's a day of darkness and great gloominess and terrible fear. He said, it's not going to be pleasant. Far from it. And he's going to take vengeance. If you're inside that blood capsule, then you're fine and dandy. You're good and safe. But that's the only wall of protection you have. And so it always uses a preposition in, within. That's the only way you have access into God anyway, to God. All right, now let's look at a couple of these. This in kingdom, in his blood, a kingdom of priests will be established in the millennial reign. That's where we're headed. We're headed to this crossing into the millennium very shortly. Personally, my opinion is that we will cross into it by the year 2000 is somewhere there close. Not tomorrow morning, not the day after. There's no chance that the Lord's coming today or tomorrow. He isn't coming at that kind of an any moment at all. There are a lot of things that are going to line up for this coming. We'll show them to you. Now look at Exodus 19 right there in front of you. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be mine own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Will you notice that this kingdom of priests is primarily Jewish? This book is built entirely on Jewish symbolism. Without a knowledge of the Old Testament and a good knowledge of the Old Testament, you might as well shut the book of Revelation and forget it, because you will never make headway in it. You must remember that every single word of the Scripture is written by a Jew. God has never given revealed truth recorded in Scripture to anybody but a Jew. Every single writer was a Jew. And he elected to do it that way to prove that the Scriptures were the Word of God. So if you don't have a good background in Scripture, you don't see these pictures. Now the important thing is that our symbolism throughout our conference will be constantly related to Israel, so you see how this goes together. And he's talking about them being priests. You say, well, then as Gentiles, I know some of you probably get upset right away. Well, aren't we part of the kingdom of priests? Yes, but I like to say almost incidentally, because you are grafted in to the believing Israel. The Hebrew Christians formed the early church. You say, well, are they better than we who are grafted in? Of course not. It says there is neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ. They lose their separation as to anybody being superior than the other. Everybody in Christ is on an equal footing. It says there's neither male nor female. Now, that doesn't mean you're still not a girl or a boy. That's ridiculous. That's what people do with nonsensical things when they start to wrest the Scriptures to their own damnation. And so you're still one or the other, but in Christ, there's no separation. No separation at all. So you're engrafted. But because of this book being as Jewish-centered as it is of utmost importance that we keep that, or we will not find the answers to the symbols. So I want you to see the direction you're going to have to go. All right, look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 is written, and those of you that have the Peter course, and it's available, and all the cassettes available, on the translation of 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter is written to Jewish Christians, not Gentile Christians, Jewish Christians. No mention is made of Gentile Christians. Some of the principles, of course, will apply. Some principles, such as thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, apply no matter where they were written, of course. But 1 Peter is strictly a Jewish book written to Hebrew Christians. 2 Peter is strictly a Gentile book written to Gentile Christians. Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's preached both the Gentiles and the Jews two separate occasions, and he wrote two books, one to one and one to the other. Here in this one to the Jews we find, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, coming down there to verse 7, every eye, and they who pierced him. All right, we're coming to this passage here. The simple understanding of this verse does not make the second advent some secret rapture. Will you notice that, please? There is today being taught the thing that the Lord is coming at any moment, and he's going to catch everybody that's ready up into the air secretly and take them away to their eternal home in heaven. Number one, none of this is true. He isn't coming secretly all of a sudden in a moment. He isn't going to take them up to their eternal home in heaven, because they quote the scripture, absent with the body, present with the Lord, and he's going to be here ruling on earth. So what in the world are you going to be doing up there in heaven? So this is very confusing. I know it's very confusing to everybody, because one doctrine after another keeps coming over the radio, and everybody's got his opinion. Before you finish this course, you'll see that as long as 100 years ago, they wrote that we would, this in the last church period, be living in the church of opinion. That's exactly what we're writing. They wrote 100 years ago, they knew that was coming up, a church of opinion. And today the common Sunday school class goes around and saying, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? Do you realize I've got 36 inches of Bibles down there on a shelf in the museum? And that's only a little smattering. There are many, many more than that. What are they? People's opinions. They're not consistent at all. All kinds of opinions. All kinds of blasphemy. All kinds of blasphemy. And they even name the books different. Some of them go so far as to call the books of the Bible, like Romans and Corinthians, these other books, they translate them the letters to the church of Selma, and they translate them with all kinds of liberal twists to them and blasphemous leadings. All kinds of things coming all the time. So keep in mind now, where experience is Israel. Now, take a look. So the second advent is not some secret rapture, as you shall see. Jesus says in Matthew 26:64, the high priest and those with him would see this coming. Hence, they have to be resurrected before the millennium. Would you look at the passage, Matthew 26. And the high priest stood up and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? Now, mind you, he's talking to Jesus. What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, the high priest, that he's talking to, henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, if he told the truth to that high priest, then that high priest has got to be resurrected to be here to see it. So you're far from a secret coming. We're going to have one world-shaking event after another as we come up on these end days. All right, go a little further. And this is an interesting prophecy in Zechariah with a double fulfillment. Still future in the magnitude prophesied here, but fulfilled at the cross. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look unto me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadadrimmon and the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and so forth. So here we are going to have a rebuilt and reestablished Israel, which is what we've got on the stage of history right at this time. Now look at John 19. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So one of these, of Zechariah, was fulfilled at the cross. But the great magnitude, when Israel is all dwelling there in safety again, is still future, when they see him whom they pierced. And they'll have to be resurrected to be there. Let me turn the tape.